The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However, you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidelon, producer number nine, right here. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man? Football.
1-0, Gil. Millions, bets. What could go wrong the rest of the season?
Oh, wait, you have the Chiefs in millions?
Yes, I did
put the Chiefs in millions. Oh, you put in millions early?
Yeah, I put millions in early. Oh. Week one, I did.
I wish if they had updated it midweek, you could screenshot and
Number one.
Champion.
I don't know why I put up like 11 first.
But I have no idea what you're doing.
Number 11,
No idea. Good for you. 1-0 for Kelly Bidelon. And you have a Xavier Worthy Offensive Rookie of the Year ticket, do you not?
I do, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's off to a pretty good start.
You know what? Even I had to laugh at those. I know we're going to get into it.
Yeah.
What did they have? Three touches total? Everybody's like, oh, give it to him now.
Two went to the house, last I checked. By the way, today on the show, Chris Felica, the Bear from me. Fox Sports. I almost said his old employer from Fox Sports, Chris Felica, talking college football with us and whatever else he's betting. Jason Weingarten, Dr. Bob, his weekly spot, college football. He's got a total. He's got a side in college football. He will be thorough, as you know him to be, with all his explanations on why he's playing that. We'll talk all things NFL week number one, all our game previews. Oh, Joe Cirillo will join us a little later on as well on the show. Joe is the host of Cashing Out right here on VSiN. He will join us. And we're going to do a little segment that we're going to do every Friday here called Are We Sure? Are We Sure About ...
Mm-hmm.
Our football assumptions, if you will. Because you know what they say about assuming, Kelly. It makes you regret things you thought.
Yes.
I believe is how that expression goes.
Expression.
To the game last night. Let us begin there. You want a little 3-minute recap? Here you go. Baltimore, Kansas City, opening kickoff touchback. Made sure to mention or to log all the kickoff results here.
Oh, boy, yep.
We've got to have this discussion.
Yep.
Baltimore, couple Lamar keepers. Designed keepers. That's not going to be sustainable. Sets up Henry, 5-yard touchdown run. Derrick Henry cashes anytime touchdown and first touchdown. 7-0 Baltimore. KC opening kickoff. They did return it to the 33. Baltimore was at least trying to get returns. 5 plays, 67 yards, 2 minutes and 19 seconds, as opposed to Baltimore's deliberate drive. Kansas City just flies downfield, and then Worthy from 21 out, 7-7, 5:55 left in the first quarter. He was ablaze on that. Kingsley Suamataya coming from his rookie from his left tackle position to make a block downfield on Roquan on that one.
That was one of those combinations of super speed, super blocking, and then you're like, how did he get through those blocks?
That was just
just carved his way through and didn't even get touched.
Of course, I immediately then tweet. I'm like, way to go, Buffalo, as we said on draft day. Way to trade to Kansas City and let him draft him. And then one person goes, oh, it's an overreaction, guys. Like, well, we said it draft night, so it's not an overreaction. And by the way, just wait. He might do something else later. Baltimore runs it out to the 30. We did have a return, 4-and-out. Kansas City then returns the favor with a 5-and-out because David Ojabo sacked Mahomes. So Amataya was beat on that play. Second quarter, Baltimore first play. Lamar hit by Chris Jones. Fumbles recovered by Felix Anudike. Uzoma at the Baltimore 14, but Kelsey holds, sets him back. Pass to Juju, broken up at the goal line by Marcus Williams. They have to settle for Butker 32-yard field goal, 10-7 Kansas City. Baltimore after a touchback, and this will become the theme here on. 4th-and-3 at midfield. They decide to go for it. Did you have a problem with this? Down 10-7. Early second quarter, they decide to go for it at midfield. That bother you?
No.
Okay. That was a quick answer.
No, not
Lamar
really.
Dizay for one. It kind of did me because it was like just under 10 minutes left in the second. I'm like, are we doing this?
The only thing that kind of bothered me about is it felt a little knee-jerk reaction because they had an opportunity, the previous drive where they could have done the same thing and they decided to punt it?
Well, there's a real questionable Baltimore punt coming up. Still 10-7 now. Mahomes and Kansas City take the ball over right there at midfield. But 3rd-and-12, Mahomes avoids 3 Ravens for a would-be sack. He hits Kelsey downfield for 23, then Worthy for 12, his second touch of the game. But alligator arms for Kelsey on 2nd-and-5 from the 13, then incomplete to Worthy in the end zone, broken up by our Darius Washington. Butker from 31, again, they have to settle.
Mm-hmm.
So Kansas City only up 13-7, and you feel they're dominating at this point. 5:53 left in the second quarter. Baltimore after a touchback. Tucker misses a 53-yard field goal. That's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Is he not going to be AUTOMatic?
I mean, that was the thing from last year too a little bit. So yes, something to definitely keep an eye on.
I threw a little Prince in there, by the way, side of the times. Kansas City, first and 10 from their own 43. Mahomes underthrows Rashee Rice, picked by Roquan. What a mistake by Mahomes. Right after the Tucker missed 53-yard field goal, and Baltimore gets life late in the second quarter. They have to settle for a Tucker 25-yard field goal, 13-10 at halftime.
Real quick, think about that sequence right there. Justin Tucker missed field goal in one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes make. Back-to-back plays.
Improbable.
I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. What are we watching? 13-10 at the half. Kansas City begins in the third quarter after a run back to the 31, but they hold on the run back. Remember, that's possible on kickoff returns too. So back to the 21. Mahomes to Rice for 33, the big play, then 25 to Justin Watson. Leads eventually to a Pacheco 1-yard touchdown run. 20-10 Kansas City, by the way. Suamataya had a hold there, but it didn't matter ultimately. 20-10 Kansas City, 11-28, 11 third quarter. Then after a touchback for Baltimore, 7 plays, but then they had to punt. Kansas City returns the favor, 9 plays, then they had to punt. But they didn't have to punt. They decided to punt. Up 10, 4th and 5 at the Baltimore 40.
Disgusting. I wasn't on Twitter at all, so I don't really know what everybody's reaction was. I was shocked. I was blown away.
Yeah, that one, I don't know what you're doing. Fourth quarter, Baltimore starts at their own 20 now. First play, fourth quarter, Lamar to Likely for 49 yards, touchdown. A lot of yak on that play. They did the analytics on it, 0.3% touchdown probability, but Likely with a couple dodges and a broken tackle, 20-17 Kansas City. We're in the fourth again after touchback for Kansas City, 8 plays. Mahomes to Worthy for 35, touchdown. Xavier Worthy, rookie of the year, driver's seat, 27-17 Kansas City. Then Baltimore after another touchback, 10-25 left. They matriculate the ball down the field. That's the first time we get to say that this year. Tucker, 32-yard field goal, 27-20, cuts the Kansas City lead to 7 with 4:54 left. And after another touchback, the Chiefs, Baltimore now with one timeout left because they used one on defense. They used one on defense on the first drive. 3 plays in, and then they used a second one on defense on Kansas City's second drive of the second half. So they wasted 2. They only had one timeout left there. 3rd and 10, though, they get Kansas City to 3rd and 10 at their own 40. They use their last timeout with 2:36. So if Kansas City gets the 10 yards here, game over, but they don't because Trenton Simpson bats up a Mahomes pass in the air. It looked like he might have picked it for a second, but Mahomes comes down with it. Nonetheless, they got a punt. So down 7, Baltimore starts their own 13, 1:50 left, down 7 here. Lamar to Likely for 8. Lamar runs for 9. Incomplete intended for Bateman. Bateman never gets open, by the way, until he does. To Likely for 8, 1:26 to go. 3rd and 2 from their own 38. Lamar escapes for a 3-yard run and a first. 1:11 to go at their own 41. Lamar to Justice Hill for 7. To Likely for 4, 43 seconds left now at the Kansas City 48. To Bateman, somehow Rashad Bateman gets open for 38, and the Ravens choose not to clock it at the 10-yard line. They let the clock run. Lamar a little too high for Likely in the back of the end zone. 10 seconds left, down 7. So he misses Likely, deep corner of the end zone. Then he throws it way behind a wide-open Zay Flowers. Lamar later would say it wasn't intended for Zay Flowers. It was intended for Bateman, who was underneath, but Zay went past it, and Bateman stayed under it. 5 seconds left. One more chance. Lamar bounces around the pocket, gets loose to Likely. Touchdown, Plinko, but no. And it also looked like the Ravens, Harbaugh was going to go for 2 there.
That was the worst part. If you're
to
holding,
take the win, he was going to go for it.
If you're holding the Chiefs ticket like me, you knew it as soon as they scored, Harbaugh was going to go for 2. But as soon as I saw that throw and the catch, I'm like, and Harbaugh's pointing for 2, I'm like, oh, God.
But here's the thing. When you watch this live, by the way, of course, they review it and they show that Isaiah Likely's toe was on the line. It's reversed. Kansas City wins the ballgame 27-20. But you could see live, right, that he probably had his toe out. And even if you weren't that sure, you knew it would have to withstand review. So I thought Tirico kind of blew that call.
Oh, I thought so, too. I thought it was...
He was so convinced it was a touchdown, it seemed like. Or I mean, he was just wrapped up in the moment.
I don't want to say I was sure either way, but I was like, man, it sure looked like he was out of bounds for that type of reaction.
Plinko, congratulations to Chiefs backers, Ravens backers. You were probably outplayed, but it was still a Plinko situation. Just a few things for this. First of all, you look at the box score. Baltimore outgained Kansas City 452-353, 185-72 on the ground. But that's deceiving because it was 74-50 in total plays. They ran 24 fewer plays, the Chiefs did. I thought the game was marred by penalties. I thought Sean Hockley thought he was the show for much of this game. 13 accepted total penalties in this game. That's not to mention all the offsetting ones and the ones that were not accepted. Kingsley Suamataya, as I mentioned, good plays, bad plays for the Chiefs. They should be encouraged, I think, for him as a rookie left tackle. Did give up one sack, gave up a couple pressures, had a hold, but looked great on that first worthy touchdown. And then it's the Lamar thing with the, you know, again, Lamar 26 for 41 for 273, touchdown, no picks, was sacked once, but 16 for 122 and one fumble lost. This is not sustainable. 16 carries a game for Lamar.
No. I mean, I think
we can't do this.
I think some of the biggest takeaways from the game, for me at least, was the Ravens offensive line that we thought might be an issue this year. It appears like it is a little bit, and it appears that Lamar doesn't trust it at all because he was looking to get out of there as quickly as possible. It doesn't really feel like they are set with how they're going to utilize Derrick Henry in this offense. Drive one looked great. After that, he wasn't involved all that much in the game, it sure felt like. It's game one of the NFL season, right? The ref's looking to make a statement with the whole. I don't have a problem with that, by the way, because we complained all last year about that offensive tackle lining up so far off the line of scrimmage.
Yes, we did.
I didn't have a problem with the refs calling it that many times and making a statement. Maybe I'm the only guy. But
Blake Warrior, by the way, tweeted, players have 270-plus passing yards and 120-plus rushing yards in a game in NFL history. Lamar Jackson three times. Last night was the third. The other two, the 2019 divisional round and week two back in 2019. I'm with you, but Will Hill said it best yesterday via text. If they're going to keep calling that illegal formation, that's going to have much more effect on totals to games to the under than any kind of new kickoff rule will to the over. We'll get into that on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With both college and the NFL underway, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Make this football season your best ever with full VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, betting splits, betting systems, and 24/7 video access. Grab our football season special. Get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175 or start a monthly subscription for just $9.99. That's it. And see why VSiN Pro is your ticket to a winning season. Don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up and start betting smarter today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Numbers Game, football. In full effect now, it just feels different, man. Just feels different. I want to say a couple more things about the game last night, and I want to get to the game tonight between the Eagles and the Packers in Sao Paulo, Brazil. One thing, the touchback to the 30-yard, the new kickoff rules, the new kickoff formation, which is really like a sort of glorified running play, and the touchback goes to the 30. You know, Steve Fezzik came on this show and other shows on the network several times this summer. He's very adamant about, the average is going to be the 28 point whatever yard line. And my point to him was, okay, that's great. Whether you're right or wrong, that's great. Let's say you're right. But does that translate for the better? Does that translate to more points, a bigger scoring environment than we were used to from last year? And what you see from this is, if the touchback is only to the 30, these teams are by and large going to kick it through the end zone. It's only when you adjust the touchback to the 35 when you are going to see the change that you're trying to do. By the way, the NFL, let's just macro this. The NFL tried for years to legislate the kickoff return out of the sport of football. And then they decided this is not a play. We must now try to get kickoffs. Getting the touchback to the 30 is not going to do the trick. They got to move it up five more yards. And I think that once they do that, the percentage of success rate on drives spikes massively, according to the analytics.
I think
that's not my opinion. That's math.
Right. No. I think I'm hoping this somehow works this season. I don't know that what we saw last night would indicate that it will and that they won't make further changes. I hope it works, though, because I think if we're talking about teams starting at the 35-yard line, I mean, there were a couple times last night where Ravens got the ball. It's okay, get it at the 30. You see Lamar take off for 12, and you're like, okay, two plays later, you're already in the other team's side of the field. So I hope this works out because I'm with you. I think if we're talking about moving up to the 35-yard line, this game's getting a little silly. And I like the idea. I want the kickoff returns.
If your point is to have kickoff returns, if you've done an about face, you've done a 180, and you're like, now we want kickoff returns, you're not doing it by getting the touchback to the 30. It just doesn't, the stats do not bear that out. 30 gets to the 35, then all of a sudden you're disincentivized from kicking it through the end zone. Mm-hmm. By the way, the other thing that came up last night was Xavier Worthy's great performance, 2 touchdowns in this ball game, and just lightning fast speed again, which we all knew about when he played at the University of Texas and then certainly after the combine. The Buffalo Bills now, they have traded down 3 times since the year 2017. They acquired Stephon Diggs back in 2020, the pandemic year. Diggs and a 2027th rounder for a 2020 first, the 22nd overall, a 5th and a 6th. That 22nd overall, the Vikings used to take Justin Jefferson. Before that was the famous, you know, the most famous of all. They traded down with the Chiefs in the first round in 2017. Yeah. And the Chiefs with a 10th pick overall in 2017 took someone I like to call Patrick Mahomes. So where there was that, by the way, the Bills traded out of the first round, even in that draft. So that's, they didn't even make a pick. And I'm not putting Worthy yet up with Mahomes or Jefferson. Don't get me wrong. But after one game, I think we can make this comment. And then, of course, they trade up 4 picks, or the Bills trade down 4 picks, I should say, with the Chiefs, so that the Chiefs could take Worthy late in the first round of this draft. And we said it on draft night. What are you doing?
That's all I want to clarify. No judgment of the players yet at all. But we did say on draft night, did you really make a trade with the Chiefs? Like, you don't think the Chiefs know what they're doing here?
We said it then. Tonight. The Eagles and the Packers from Sao Paulo, Brazil. There is Friday night football. I have to keep reminding myself today, by the way.
And Peacock only, I believe.
Peacock, right? Baby. So does that mean if we go around to like random books and stuff, they may or may not have it?
I believe you're right, Gil. I think most books will. But yeah, like if you're planning on going out to whatever your sports bar of choice is tonight, you might want to double check. Packers. I believe it's Peacock only.
Peacock only.
Okay.
It is Peacock.
Like, you know how they keep trying to advertise this stuff? Where it's like even last night, they're like, catch it on Peacock. And I'm like, yeah, but it's also on NBC. So let me just flip to NBC.
I just want to, you know, because there's a lot of, obviously a lot of people have the Eagles winning it. This is at Corinthians Arena tonight in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
A chance for Kelly to go 2-0 in Circa Millions.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I haven't bet the Eagles, but I did use them as a contest.
Eagles are a 2-point favorite now. Total's at 49.5. I just want to give my, because I know a lot of people are all about the Eagles. I just want to give my brief little Eagles, you know, sort of counterpoint. I did this with Zach Cohen earlier this summer. Like,
Gil argues against himself. Let's put up Gil's bets in one corner and then have Gil argue against
himself. I'm on the Eagles tonight, but this is my caution about the Eagles. They lost, as we all know, they lost 6 of their last 7 last year, including a playoff game. They were destroyed by Dallas and San Francisco down the stretch. They lost to Arizona and the Giants. They were minus 82 in point differential in those last regular season games. They were a no-show against the 9-8 Buccaneers in the playoffs. We all know about that. They fired Brian Johnson. Sean Desai gave way to Matt Patricia. You remember that episode. Now it's Vic Fangio on defense. Now it's Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. So I do think Nick Sirianni is in this position where if things go bad early, oh, God, you might be done because you will be the fall guy. But I just, you know, getting back to the Kellen Moore thing, and everybody thinks this is going to go swimmingly well. Jalen Hurts offensive coordinators. Let's do it in back, you know, from now backwards. Kellen Moore, Brian Johnson, Shane Steichen for 2 years, Press Taylor. And then remember, he not only went to Alabama, he also went to Oklahoma after that in college. So this, he's in a different system seemingly every single year. And so at some point there is an adjustment period.
Yeah, yep.
If they're not great out of the gates, that's what we should think about. We shouldn't be that surprised by it. And then on defense, I was mentioning, you know, everybody when they drafted all these Georgia players last year thought, oh my God, this can be the greatest defense ever. Well, Jalen Carter didn't finish strong. Jordan Davis, 350 pounds. Nakobe Dean's a backup. Nolan Smith couldn't even get off on the field. Jason Kelsey, of course, maybe most significantly retired on offense. Saquon has miles on him. Let's see if he can sort of have a great sustained season for an entire season. So I guess there's a lot of question marks. And all that said, I'm still taking the Eagles tonight. And I love Jordan Love. I love Jordan Love. I was the guy who said, hey, you hold the clipboard for 3 years in the same system, you're going to be good usually. And he has been.
Yeah, I think there's still I think there's questions still with the Packers, though. Right. I have some defensive questions with them. And then I feel like everybody in this maybe leads us into our little segment we're only going to have a couple minutes for. But it's the he had such a great ending the last season. Are we sure, Gil, that that is absolutely the Jordan Love that we're going to see all season and he's only going to continue to get better?
No, we are not.
I don't think we're sure.
There's no way. Let's put it this way. I'm much more sure of CJ Stroud.
Me too.
Surrounded by his players and his talent.
And that has something to do with it.
Than I am with Jordan Love, who, again, like, what is his Dontavian Wicks? Yep. Jaden Reed, like, I'm not sure of any of these guys, right? By the way, Josh Jacobs in the backfield now for the Packers, swapping Aaron Jones out for him. Are we sure about other things? Throw some out at me. I'll tell you if I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one that does lead nicely into this one. Okay, a lot. We did this. We brought this up a little bit over the summer. Just some major takeaways that we've heard from a lot of people over the summer about teams. I'm going to tee you up, Gil. Steelers, are we sure they won't have a winning season?
Yes, I am. 17 in a row is one thing, Mike Tomlin. 18, forget about it. That's ridiculous. The schedule's ridiculous, especially those last seven games. The last eight games is a ridiculous gauntlet. They've won a lot of one-score games over the last 3 years. They have had great turnover luck. They played a bevy of backup quarterbacks last year. And, oh, by the way, the headline, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are their quarterbacks. So, yes, I am sure about that. He says confidently. Are we keeping a tape of this, by the way?
Yeah, we are. We got to monitor that quarterback situation. We'll talk about these games later in the show a little bit. But, I mean, Russell Wilson, I'm thinking that is almost more doubtful than likely that he plays this weekend. All right, 49ers. Should they be half the odds of any other team in the NFC to win the conference?
Yes, because of what
we're
I just
sure
said about the
they're
Eagles.
That good.
Yeah, we are sure they're that good. They're running it back. They got Trent Williams back. They got Brandon Ayuk back. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
With apologies to the Lions fans.
I think it's a little bit more muddied at the top because I think that there is. I've got them, Lions, Eagles, all kind of up
there. By the way, let me just caution myself. I'm way too sure about both of those things.
Yeah. Okay. Are we sure the Patriots will have the worst record in the NFL?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. No. The Giants might give them a run for their
money. They might. Yes, they might.
They might.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we sure it will be Rodgers, Burrow, or Cousins who wins comeback player of the year?
Yeah, because the thought of, you know, something happening to all three of them and knocking them out of this category is so unlikely, and you would have to talk yourself into a word salad to try to endorse somebody else because those are the marquee players in that market.
I think that we, as angry as we all got about that market last year and as much as we've talked about it the past couple
justifiably,
I don't think we're talking about it much this year because I think it's one of those three. I think it's exactly what you said. Whoever's healthy and has the best team.
All right. Is that it? Yeah?
I got one more, but we're out of time.
Sure. Chris Felica on the other side, the Bear. Maybe we'll ask that last question later.
Yeah.
And we'll switch over to Chris, who's got college football plays and more next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game live from Circa. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, where sports betting lives on a football Friday. You would think that I would be more upset with this gentleman for his ridiculous slander of world number one Iga Świątek on Twitter yesterday. But really, what I'm more upset with is when Karolina Muchova was leading 6-1 to Love yesterday in her semifinal match against Jesse Pegula, he texted me, "Muchova, more like Matchova." It's Chris Felica, everybody, the Bear from Fox Sports. What do you have to say for yourself?
Yeah, I did it to both of us because I had a 27-1 ticket on her to reach the final as well. So that was a break point to go up the second break in three Love in the second set and just kind of pushed a volley far over. I mean, Pegula was off the court on the other side of the court, just pushed it long over the line, and then she proceeded to lose 12 of the next 16 games. So, and right, and the other good, the chef's kiss with that was right as that was happening. I had the Padres as well, and I saw that they had a two-out ninth-inning grand slam to the Tigers.
Oh, God.
What should have been a really good night turned into a god-awful night. But that's okay. What could go wrong? We have college football and the NFL this weekend to make amends, right?
Absolutely right. And I would, by the way, some people wanted to hear us back and forth about Iga, but your audio is not great, so I want to get to your picks real quick.
Sorry.
Let's go to college football. What did you land on today?
Yeah, I apologize for the internet at the Hyatt Place here in Ann Arbor, but we'll try and get through it.
Come on, Ann Arbor.
Exactly. Go Blue. I landed on Houston plus 29 against Oklahoma. I don't know if anybody really took a dive into the box score for Oklahoma against Temple, but it really wasn't too flattering. Jackson Arnold, 17 completions, went for 145 yards. They had 378 total yards against what's probably the worst team in the FBS, one of them for sure. The number one wide receiver, Jaleel Farouk, is going to be out for an extended period of time. They got six turnovers in the game. But can you rely on that week in and week out? Look, Houston is not a good offense at all, but they did do a decent job defensively against UNLV last week. I trust Willie Fritz to kind of try and shorten this game. So I just thought 29 was too many in this game. So I took the Cougars plus 29, and I am probably in the minority here. But I took Colorado plus the 7.5. I think the one thing we know for sure of all other things in this game is that Colorado is going to move the ball and Colorado is going to be scoring points. If you look at the 13 games that Colorado has played under Deion Sanders, underdogs, they're 9-3-1 against the numbers. So they're now in the opposite position of like not being favored. They're an underdog in this game. I'm not saying that's the reason why I'm picking Colorado, but with Hunter, Shador, and Horn, they're going to move the ball against the Nebraska defense. And I'm still not sure this Nebraska defensive improvement isn't just a byproduct of playing a whole bunch of bad Big Ten teams late in the year and then UTEP in game one. This is the type of game that Nebraska has been like dying to win forever. They haven't. Like, everything right now is great for Nebraska. Dylan Raiola is the guy. We were great last week. Our defense has improved. We win this game, we could be 7-0 going to Columbus. There's a lot of pressure on a team that hasn't handled pressure and handled these expectations really well the last few years. So I did take Colorado plus 7.5. I took Syracuse plus 3 against Georgia Tech as well. I'm not sure, and this is just a question maybe throw out there, like you just did the whole, are we sure? Are we sure about Georgia Tech now based on what we saw from Florida State on Monday night? Are we sure that they're really that good? And they
good point.
Playing points on the road at Syracuse. Kyle McCord and Gadsden and their wide receivers had a really good rapport. This is a really interesting game that might not be on people's radar for Saturday, but the winner of this game has a really good opportunity to win 8-9 games and have a really nice bowl destination come into the year. And then the other game I landed on was Iowa State plus 3 against Iowa. I think are we sure Iowa's offensive problems are really solved? This game was 6-0 at halftime last week against Illinois State, and people were making the joke, same old Iowa offense, for 21 points in the fourth quarter against the FCS team to kind of make that game look a little bit more of a blowout than it actually was. I know Iowa State is down a couple of guys, thinking their linebacker is going to be out an extended period of time, but still, they're facing a much better team this week in the Cyclones than they were last week against the old Redbirds from Northern Illinois. So, Iowa State, Syracuse, Houston, and Colorado, four dogs there for you.
All right. Big noon kickoff is at Michigan, Texas this weekend?
We are.
Okay.
We are. And I really have no idea what to expect in this game. I'm looking for all the reasons in the world to take Michigan plus the points, but I'm not convinced they can move the ball. You have Orji, who really is just a running quarterback. Maybe they'll just embrace it and run both guys and have packages for both guys. I don't think their wide receivers are very dynamic. Under would be the way I would lean here, but the numbers come down to 42 now, so that's really, really low. Maybe a Michigan team total would be the best way to play it in case Texas does have a good bit of success, because Bond and the receivers that Texas have really look like they and Ewers were on the same page last week. I'm not going to force a play here. If I had to play one thing, it would be Michigan team total under.
Okay. Real quick, your NFL pick of the week and who you might be playing for Survivor.
I like the Colts getting 3 against the Texans. And this is a good look. Last year, Jonathan Taylor dropped a fourth down pass that they probably would have scored, won the game, and they would have been the team in the playoffs and probably had all the expectations that the Texans now have this year. So now you've got the biggest buzz team in the NFL, laying point on the road, division game. Like, Colts seem like an auto play for me here as well. And then you and I are on the same page on my other game, the Cardinals, getting 6.5 against the Bills. In the Arizona offense, with Kyler last year late, looked much different. You add Marvin Harrison Jr. against the Bills defense, that probably isn't going to be very good Now, look, I think the Bills are going to score a ton of points. This is going to be a very high-scoring game, and I think the Cardinals certainly hang around. Survivor, I'm looking at Tampa just because I think the matchup for – well, I think Jaden Daniels is going to have a good year and be in the mix for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Todd Bowles and that defense against a rookie quarterback, I think the Bucs offensive line should be able to help them as well by kind of maintaining time of possession, keeping the Commanders' offense off the field. So, Indian Ward is a little bit of a game theory type play here because I don't think you're going to be, if you look at Bucs' schedule down the road, you're probably not going to be using them very often in any time future. You don't want to burn the Bengals week one. And then, of course, they're obviously concerned if you're playing the Seahawks with how well the Broncos look in the preseason. Also, yeah, I landed on Colts. Colts plus 3, Cardinals plus 6.5, and then I just fuck.
All right, Chris, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. We'll do the Ego thing another time when we can hear you better.
We're good. All right, brother.
Chris Velika, at Chris Velika on Twitter, and of course, Bear Bets Podcast Empire. He's got multiple podcasts over there. Will Hill's there on his pod. Sammy P's there. Jeff Schwartz. A whole bunch of stuff over there.
Jeff Schwartz. Yep. Absolutely.
That's right.
Yep.
Jeff Schwartz is going to be on with Stormy today, by the way, on Money Moves. By the way, for those who missed it, Muhova loses that match. 6-1, up 6-1 to Love. He sends the Muhova, more like Matchova text. And of course, as I'm reading, I'm like, oh, no. Haven't you done this before? It's one thing to slander Ega. Now you're going to, but he had Muhova to win the whole tournament. And so we lose on that because Jesse Pegula comes back. I didn't really watch because I was watching the football game.
I feel like I watched, I had it on my other TV. I don't really know how I missed the end of it. Like I watched a lot of the first set, thought it was going to be done. Muhova looked awesome, I thought, in that first set.
So we have Sabalenka is going to take on Pegula. In the women's final on Saturday, Sabalenka correctly priced, I believe, as a just south of a $3 favorite in that, based on her data. And then on the men's side, we have the two semis tonight. And I think those are properly priced with both Jannik Sinner and Taylor Fritz. I know a lot of people like Tiafoe, but I think both of those are appropriate favorites. Probably won't have, assuming Sinner advances, probably won't have another U.S. Open tennis bet in what has been a successful tournament. In Flushing Meadows. What a tournament it was. And then tennis has the decency of moving aside as football comes. You have one more, are we sure, before we go to break from last segment that we didn't get to?
Yeah, we do. We do have one more. Are we sure?
Yeah.
The Eagles and Falcons should be odds-on favorites in their divisions.
No. That's the one I'm not sure about. I'm not sure about that. First of all, the Eagles, would it surprise anybody if the Cowboys actually won that division?
No.
I'd be like mildly surprised if at all. So no, they shouldn't be odds on favorite. You'll have to define the catch all of odds on that people use it. So, you know, sort of umbrella like.
Yeah.
And then the Falcons would you be that shocked? I mean, I know we've said most people have said for the entire offseason, oh, Falcons so much better. But we had Aaron Schatz come on here and said they had the worst defense DVOA in football. And that was before they got Matthew Judon, right? Mm-hmm. That was before that. That was before they got Justin Simmons. So maybe that doesn't apply anymore. But if the Bucks, who you and Felica seem to love for Survivor, good luck to you both. if the Saints won the division, would you be that flabbergasted? So I guess what I'm saying is, no, we shouldn't be that sure. I get it, but we shouldn't be that sure.
I think I'm more sure about the Falcons. But.
Yes. But of the ones you've asked me, that's the one I'm least sure about, I would say. On the other side, Jason Weingarten. He's got football plays under a cloud of smoke at Spreadopedia on the other side. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Your friendly reminder about Sport Trade. You like reduced juice? You should. Minus 104 lines?
Yeah.
Can I interest you in that at all? Is that something you might be interested in? Instead of the typical minus 110 instant in-game betting and a concierge player service, Sport Trade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. If you got $10,000 or more, that's what you want on an NFL line, the best price in the market. Sport Trade, live in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa. And coming to Arizona and Virginia this fall, download Sport Trade, use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Sport Trade, minus 104 lines, high limits. Get it now. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. People were really looking forward. There's a bunch of tweets. People, I didn't see this before. People were really looking forward to me and Felica getting into it.
I was getting tweets last night. And I didn't like. I'm one of those people that stays off Twitter for the most part during games.
Right.
But like, people are tweeting at me about Chris coming on today, and I'm like, what?
So the nature of it was that Chris, he had some tweet about, oh, he has only gotten to two quarters in like 18 non-clay. Chris's thing, he's mounting an anti-Iga Swiatek campaign, and I was going back and forth with him just a couple times. People think me and Felica are gonna get into massive beef. It's not that kind of thing.
We do the whole pull back the curtain thing, right, Gil? Yeah. Are there times where I might be concerned about that with certain people on this show? Yeah, sure. Not with Chris Felica and Gil Alexander. No, I'm not.
We get tweets. Ice Cold Gambler. When will the brilliant Sporer be back on? I need some baseball knowledge heading into the last month. He'll be back when, you know, his weekly slot. We got Jason coming up here momentarily. This is from Derek Ski. Derek Ski. Always enjoy your perspective on Survivor. What would your strategy be in a smaller pool, 60 entries, more conservative, or stick to win it versus survive? Always can be more conservative when you have a small pool as opposed to like a Circa Goliath pool. Bruce Dobiggin, two takeaways from last night. Ravens led by Lamar running is unsustainable, and Mahomes will be a very tough out again now that Xavier shows he's the real deal. Oh, lose Collinsworth's son from the telecast. Oh, that's a mean Jack Collinsworth. Jack Collinsworth. Let's
Poor
see.
Jack.
I know. This is from, let's see. You gotta really filter through on some of these. You know what I mean? 3Jack H3131 Gil. I'm going to go ahead and cash that Xavier Worthy 15-1 offensive rookie of the year ticket. I've seen enough. Nothing else matters at this point. Let's see. Go up to the window. See what happens. Buddhist Man was between the recent Iga slander and the Francisco Lindor NL MVP shadow campaign from Felica. He thought things were going to get heated on the show today. If the audio were better, I would have done it. But it was just been mumbled, you know.
I forgot, we do get the Chris on location. It's awesome because, I mean, it's big dude. He's there on location for all these great games. But, yes, it does give us
Los Vegas 514, not since Kevin Durant's toe in 2021 versus the Bucks has a toe influenced the outcome of a game so much. Amazing start to the 2024 NFL season. Your SF Garbage Man. Did you and Todd do the halftime live show? If so, could you help us explain how to find the live feed? I'm glad you asked. We did not, because Todd, with a surprise Vegas trip, so he was flying yesterday during the game, and now he's complaining his hip hurts because he was in the plane and stuff. So we didn't start. We're not going to start the halftime show till next week. I promise you we will do it, but thank you for that. And
his hip hurts?
What's that?
His hip hurts?
His hip hurts. So he can't do the Twitter spaces, apparently. And then Table Max, great to see Justin Watson getting recognition this morning. He truly believes the children are our future. That's a very coming to America reference there. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, hanging out with us this morning. Is he wearing a tank top today? No, he is not. That's all I cared about. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Going very well. What did you think about that game last night? Did you have a position?
No, not really. I didn't catch the end. I caught it on the radio, but I don't know. It's good football's back. It's kind of not really back till we get the full slate Sunday, but
I feel that way too. Yeah, I feel that way too. And I feel, and this point needs to be made, I feel like when we went from four preseason games to three, and I know it's only one game less, but it is in terms of percentage, it's a big reduction in your preseason, that teams just decided to play it differently, right? With four, they had a structure. Full game on the third one. We rest everybody on the fourth. They had it figured out. With three, you have some teams that play it one way, some teams play it another. And so I do think we have more janky football the first month of the season lately, since that has happened. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's my conclusion.
I think you guys are both Ebenezer Scrooges. So, like, it was great. It was great to have it football back last night. Oh,
it
was. I loved
it. It was a good game. I'm not complaining about. Yeah, you know, could have been a little more less airtime for the refs. You know.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought Sean Hockley thought he was the show. I really did. I was like, dude, stop it, already. Jason, you have a defensive player of the year bet we didn't get to the other day. What was it?
Well, so I ended up pivoting when I realized Quantez Stiggers was not going to be a candidate for Rookie of the Year, unfortunately. I looked across the defensive backfield in New York, and I'm on Sauce Gardner. I got 40-1 and 60-1 on Sauce Gardner. for Defensive Player of the Year. The 60 is at Caesars as the best number I saw yesterday. You know, defensive backs have a harder time winning the Defensive Player of the Year award, but if the Jets do contend and make the playoffs, a lot of it's going to have to do with their defense, and Sauce Gardner is going to be a big part of that. I thought 40 and 60 were good numbers on a guy I think who has a legitimate shot at a Defensive Player of the Year.
How many interceptions does he have for you to cash that?
Well, interceptions are interesting because, you know, that means they're targeting you. Aren't there better metrics we have now to rate cornerbacks other than, you know, well, they're picking on you? Because in the past, having the most interceptions doesn't necessarily mean you're good. It means teams actually think you're bad. They're constantly challenging you or testing.
The answer to your question is yes, we do have better metrics, but the other answer to your question is, or the other question volleyed back is, will the voters consider that at all, right? Because the last DB to win was back in 2019. Stephon Gilmore won it with the Patriots. And then before that, you'd have to go all the way back to Troy Polamalu in 2010 with the Steelers for just a guy in the secondary. So that's what you're, but I hear what you're saying, man.
Yeah.
But I'm going to think that he's got to pick off passes.
Hey, Jason, real quick, did you talk to anybody from any of the books about the other guy and him being listed? Because I thought that was fascinating.
Stiggers?
Yeah.
Circa pointed it out that he's not a rookie. And then I looked at the definition and I was like, yeah, you're right. He signed a professional contract. So I don't really know what the... if he's still up, I think it would be a void.
Right, just PSA to everybody out there. If that is still up and you heard Jason mention that yesterday, like, just be careful.
That was a pretty big public service. We had people on Twitter who were super thankful for you for bringing that up. They're like, oh, wow, how long before the Canadian media they were talking about some guys from Canada figure that out. All right, a little baseball break before, because Kelly and I are going to dive deep into week one NFL slate momentarily. Baseball today, what did you land on?
I'm waiting mostly for props today because Cole Reagans and Tariq Skubal both pitch, and they're live for the strikeout stuff, the most strikeouts. So my position there was Sale. We'll either gain or lose equity today based on what Reagan and Skubal do. So most of my attention is being paid to that. I do have a small bet on the Blue Jays plus 151. Against the Braves. That's my only big, you know, side there today, or only notable side. But otherwise, it's mostly props. You mentioned Francisco Lindor.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that.
What's your deal? What do you think the deal is with him?
So Felica, who has a ticket, right, is mounting this Francisco Lindor NL MVP campaign. My thing is this. I was like, there is no way he can possibly win MVP, because if you simply look at the counting stats, right, and the counting stats, and I know we have better metrics than that, again, same sort of discussion we just had about Sauce in the NFL. But if you look at counting stats, you cannot make a case for Francisco Lindor. You'd have to go to more advanced metrics like, you know, war type stats. And I just don't think voters, and yes, there might be a New York bias, I just don't think voters are going to vote against Shohei. You?
I think it's like Secretariat and Sham. You know, sometimes the horse runs the best race of his life and still gets second, and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani, like, we've given him the MVP on losing teams. We're all of a sudden not going to give him an MVP on the best team he's ever played on. Honestly, I think Lindor might get 2, 3, maybe 5 first place votes. But if there was an over under on first place vote market, I'm probably making it like 2.5 minus 120 to the under. And I'm betting the under. So
if Francisco
wouldn't surprise me if it's unanimous.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. If he was playing for the Brewers, would we be having this conversation? I mean, honestly, by the way, I'm shout out the Mets, because the Mets and the Braves now tied for the final wild card position. So we're looking good for our Braves to miss.
We're running out of time. And all I can say about these things is we're doing it a lot this year with Skeens and Merrill, with Lindor and Ohtani. Just because one guy's having a great season doesn't mean another guy's also not having a great season. There's only one winner. It can't say bad things about Lindor. He's just not winning the MVP.
I would add Witt versus Judge, right? Bobby Witt Jr. versus Judge in that conversation as well. Thank you, Jason. Week one NFL on the other side. Numbers game. Visa.